Well, good evening. That's great. Good to see you tonight. Good to be here. And we're going to have an exciting time. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah.
I tell you, you know what it's all about. You've done it before, and most of you know, and it's going to be an exciting time. We're going to get our hands on some scriptures that we've never seen before in a language you've probably never seen before. For people that you've never seen before, but they need the Word of God.
Yeah.
They need the Scriptures. Wow. They need what we have and what we've had all these years. They need that.
Amen.
And we're going to send them portions of the Word of God, the book of John, the book of Romans, in their language.
Amen.
And that's going to be an exciting time, and we're going to be able to handle those this week. And I want to tell you a little bit about Thailand. You may I've already had some statistics mentioned. You may hear some more this week. But the Thai language is spoken of about 46 to 50 million people speak the Thai language. It is the official language of Thailand. The word Thai, it means freedom. It's interesting, isn't it? The actual word Thai means freedom. But I tell you what, it's not what's going to free them. It's what we're going to send over in that language is going to free them. If they will accept it, and they will accept the person of that book, they will be free. In Thailand, it's comprised of 94.6% Buddhist. 94.6% of the people in Thailand are Buddhist. 4.6 are Muslims. Doesn't leave much. Doesn't leave much room. 0.75% are what they call Christians. And then the word behind that was Catholic. Yeah, you got that right. Nullified it. And so, folks, 0.75%, that's less than 1%, is what they claim to be Christians, and they're Catholic. So this is a country that needs to know who He is. They border, the countries that border Thailand are Cambodia, Laos, Malaysia, and Myanmar or Burma. And those are closed countries. Thailand is an opportunity in the middle of closed countries to get the Word of God and from there send it to these countries. Isn't that great? I mean, it's not great that the other countries are closed, but it's great that there is a window of opportunity to give the gospel. And they need to know, they don't need to know about Bethel Baptist Church, by the way. If they never heard of you, it wouldn't make a hill of beans, would it? But if they don't hear about the God of Bethel Baptist Church, well, I tell you what, wouldn't that be awful to never know, never have an opportunity to know who He is? I'd like to preach a message tonight on this Lord that we serve. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter number 40. Could I use this lapel? Isaiah chapter 40, I don't think I preached here last year, I don't think I did. I may have given a challenge. This message is special to my heart, and I believe this is what God would have me to say tonight. I don't know exactly sometimes why the Lord brings messages to my mind or puts them on my heart. But tonight I'd like to preach a message that I've entitled, Wow, What a God. Wow, What a God. Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 1. The Bible says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. I'm going to give you some reasons tonight that God wants us to be comforted. I'm going to give you some reasons tonight that we can take the message of comfort to a lost world so that they can have what we have this evening. Now, I was going to preach the whole book of Isaiah, but because what Brother Rob said, I'll just stick with chapter 40. Amen. I knew I'd get at least one amen tonight. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. I'd like to share three things tonight that we can be comforted about and that we can send the message out and that the world can be comforted in these three things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the evening. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your love. Lord, you've been so good to us. There's nothing, not one thing tonight we can complain about. Lord, there's not a complaint department that we can go to. Lord, you have been overly good to us. Lord, we go through hardships. We go through trials. We go through things that are tough. But Lord, it's nothing you haven't faced. Lord, it's nothing that you've not experienced. You know our infirmities. You know our pains because you are one of us. You came in the flesh and lived among us, and you felt that. And so, God, tonight we don't have one issue that we could bring, but Lord, we do need your help. We need to lean upon you tonight with all of our might, with all of our strength, with all of our heart. And Lord, tonight as we preach your word tonight, comfort us, but also let us be a help that you can comfort others. Lord, there are some people in Thailand tonight that know not God, that know not the God of heaven. They've never heard your name. And Lord, they don't have comfort in their gods. They don't have peace in what they worship. And they need that tonight. And Lord, help us to realize that this week as we handle the Thai language and to put them together. And Lord, what a minimal sacrifice that is. Lord, what a blessing it was to see a sandwich bag full of dollar bills that the young kids put in the offering plate. And what a challenge that is. Lord, if they can get involved, so can we. And Lord, if they can get involved, what could we do? And God, use what we have for your honor and for your glory. We love you tonight. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. In verse number 7, the Bible says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You know, we can be comforted this evening because we have the word of God. We have the Bible. We have God's word tonight, not only in speech, but we've got it in print. You know what? Many people have tried to come against this book. Many people have tried to thwart the Word of God. Many nations have come against it, but they've all failed. They've all been at naught because of this book. There's one thing we can be comforted in tonight, folks, is that the Word of God will stand. You can't destroy it. You can't erase it. You can't ignore it. Because the Word of God shall stand forever. The Bible says that. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Can I say tonight that if all the Bibles were all burned up in the whole world, it would not change the Word of God one bit. Because what He said will come to pass. It will. What was comforting tonight, the midnight cry. You know what's so exciting about that? He is coming again. You may say, well, He hadn't come yet. But I'll tell you what, the Bible says He's coming. Amen. And the Word of God shall stand forever. Amen. He is coming again. And we can be comforted in that. Folks, listen to me tonight. I've mentioned this in different places, but God showed me years ago that for a lost person, this is as good as life gets. whatever you get out of life as a lost person, you better live for the gusto, because you've got an eternity in damnation awaiting you. If you go out into eternity without Christ, what you have on this side of eternity is the very best you're going to get. But what comforts me tonight, because of the Word of God, and it tells me what's ahead for us Christians, on this side of eternity, do you know what? This is as bad as it gets. Can you imagine that? This is as bad as it gets. Whatever you face in life today, whatever you face in life for the rest of this side of eternity, it's as bad as it gets. And I have a hope, Brother Bob. I have a hope in this book, because it stands forever. I just have a pinhole glimpse of glory. I don't have a full view. I wasn't with John when he wrote the book of Revelations. But I imagine it's just a pinhole of eternity and glory and God and the Father and Christ and the Spirit and eternity in heaven. It's only a pinhole. This is as bad as it gets. Yeah. You know what? I can live a little longer. I can go a little further. Because I know that this book shall stand forever. The Bible says in verse 7, it says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely people is grass." And God is making a comparison here. He's saying, imagine people as the grass in your yard or the grass in the field. It comes up. It's there for a while, it withereth, it dies. More grass comes up, it's there for a while, it withereth, it dies. And people are like that grass. People come and people go. Generations come and generations go. But this book will stand forever. We can depend on this book. We can trust what God said tonight. Young people, listen to me tonight. The world's trying to sell you a bill of goods that will lead you into some bad and ugly places that will ruin your life. But when you follow this book and His law and His statutes and His judgments, you cannot go wrong. You may not be popular. You may not be the sun in somebody's sky. But you will come out on the right end of the stick, because God's Word shall forever stand, and it will not fall. Tonight I can be comforted because of the Word of God. Not one word will fall.
Amen.
I can be comforted tonight not only in knowing that the Word of God shall not fall. Look at with me. I want to talk to you about the Word of God. And then in verse 12, the Bible says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out the heavens with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighted out the mountains in a scale, and the hills in a balance." I want to talk to you not only about the Word of God, and that not one word will fall, but I want to tell you about the wonders of God. You know, there are seven ancient wonders of the world. Now, Brother Bob's not one of them. He's one of the modern wonders of the world. But the seven ancient wonders of the world were built: the pyramids, the Hanging Gardens, the Mausoleum of Holocaust, the statues, and all these things were built. And when they were built, after they had been labored and built, people stood back and said, "Wow, look what we have done." The pyramid, the great pyramids, it took, I think, let's see, I've got it written down here. The pyramids took 30 years to complete. The pyramid itself, the great pyramid, took 2 million blocks of stone, and each block weighed an average of 5,000 pounds apiece. You talk about a sore back? I would imagine their backs were completely sore. And people, they built that thing. And you know what the whole building was for? 30 years of building. 30 years of carving out rocks, 30 years of dragging stone all over the place. You know what it was for? It was for one man to die. One man died, they sealed it up and forgot about it. And they looked and said, wow, look what we've done. But you know what? The Bible tells me in Genesis that there was nothing. And God said, let there be light. And He said, let there be stars in heaven. And let there be animals. And let there be fish in the sea. And in 6 days, God spoke into existence all that we have on the seventh day rested. And all we can do is stand back and say, wow, what a God. Wow, what a God. You know those seven ancient wonders of the world? Is that the best man has? Is that the best we got? Let me share with you an illustration. That verse, let me read verse 12 again, the first part of it. It says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, preacher? I got a glass of water right here. You want to see what that looks like? Hold on. Excuse me, I had to get a drink. Now, the Bible says that he measured out the waters in the hollow of his hand. Now, that's not the whole hand. That's the inner part of the hand. Can you imagine God? Now, if I spill a drop on your carpet, is that okay? Okay. I'm trying to do much. Okay, there's water in the hollow of my hand. Picture this. Can you picture God saying, I need some water in the Atlantic Ocean. Now I need some water in the Pacific Ocean.
There you go.
That's what that verse says. You got that right.
Amen.
The wonders of God. This is who we serve. This is Him. How about the Mediterranean Sea? Not an issue for God. He measured out the waters, putting up a guard, in the hollow, the middle part of His hand. And you know what? All we can do, Pastor, is a stand back and say, wow, what a God.
Amen. Amen.
Verse number 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, or who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him in knowledge, and showed Him the way of understanding? Let me ask you tonight, which one of you taught God something this week? Do you ever enroll in your class? Does He need your opinion? Does He need your understanding? My God's an awesome God. My God is infinite in wisdom and knowledge. There's not one of us that taught Him anything. There's not one of us that showed Him anything new. There's not an invention made that God said, I wish I'd have come up with that. He's infinite in His knowledge and wisdom. Hank, bear with me. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? He's awesome. He's infinite in knowledge and wisdom. Verse 15. This is incredible verse right here. If you can just get a hold of this, and you can apply this verse in your life, it will change you. It says, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket.
Yeah.
Now, I borrowed your bucket outside. Now, there's a dime in there. Would you grab that out?
All right.
Okay. I borrowed your bucket. Now, this isn't too big. There you go. This isn't too big. I could have brought a 55-gallon drum. But this is a good-sized red bucket. The Bible says the nations are as a drop of a bucket.
Yeah.
Now, what are the nations to us? 6.2 or 6.3 billion people,
right.
I get lost in Milford. And it ain't big. But can you imagine the world? We look at the world as being this vast, huge place. Let me give you God's perspective. I've got a bucket, and I've got a drop.
You see it? You see it? I don't think you can see it. But this is the world in God's perspective. This is 6.3 billion people in God's perspective. When God gave us the Great Commission, Pastor, and He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, this is the way He looked at it. You see, folks, He didn't give us an impossible task. He gave us a possible task, but it's got to be in His perspective. We say, oh, I'm just one person. But God can use one person. God can use you. And God can use you. And God can use you. And He takes the small things to confound the mighty. You know our God. Pretty big and pretty awesome. If that's what the nations look like, I wonder what your problems look like. Now, wait a minute. They're pretty big to me. I tell you what, I've had a bad day today. I've had a rough day today. I've got some news this week that I didn't like. But when I look at it in God's perspective, it's nothing for Him. It's nothing He can't solve. You know, folks, we may look at this project, 15,000 John and Romans, but there's 45 million people in Thailand. It looks like we're not doing much. It looks like we're not accomplishing much. It's big for us. But you know what? God knows how to do it. God knows how to take those 15,000. And there's no telling what He's going to do with it, because the nations don't scare Him. The nations don't impress Him. And we can reach the world. And we can do. We've just got to be obedient.
Yeah.
Let's look at things in God's perspective. Let's look at things the way He does. Now, I could go through this whole verse and how He weighed out the mountains and the scales. And in verse 15, He counted the small dust in the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. The beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing. They are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. But you know what's so exciting about it? He cares about you and me. That's the way the world looks like to Him. But He's an individual God.
Yeah.
And He cares about you.
Yeah.
And He cares about you. And He cares about you.
Yeah.
And He cares about you. And you know what? We say, God, I don't know if You can fix my problems. I don't know if You can help me where I'm at. It's just too much, God. And He says, hello? Hello? Wow, what a God. Wow, what a God. Verse number 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by numbers, and calleth them all by names. If He knows all the hosts of heaven by name, I guarantee He knows yours.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know your names. I forget. I don't even know mine half the time. But God knows it. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might. For He is strong in power. Not one faileth. I can be comforted tonight because, number one, the Word of God shall not fall. And I can be comforted tonight of the wonders of God because not one will fail. You know why the seas have not encompassed the earth? Because God told it not to. You know why the stars haven't fell and killed us all and the ozone blown wide open? Is because God told it not to. Not one faileth. Verse 28, and I'll close. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting Lord, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of God shall not fall. The wonders of God shall not fail. And there's not a waiter on God that shall faint. Not one. You know, God's not in a wheelchair tonight, Pastor. He's not in crutches. He's not the old man upstairs. He's not the gray-haired guy that's all crippled up and can't do anything for himself. He's an almighty, powerful, long-suffering God of heaven. And his strength doesn't fail. And all those that put their trust in him won't either. You won't faint. I've often wondered about that word, they that wait upon the Lord. Well, Lord, okay. I'm waiting. Bless me if you can. I'm here. Lord, I got an issue. You going to show up someday? Isn't that how we do it sometimes? Lord, if you can. You know what a waiter is?
Yep.
What does a waiter do? Can I help you? 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 You know what to do when you're in trouble? You know what to do when you're faint? You know what to do when the cares of this world get upon you? Start waiting on God. Start serving him with all your heart. Lord, I don't have any money, but I'm going to give something to him because he needs it. Lord, I don't have good health, but I'm going to do something because these are your people, and I believe that honors you. I think if, you know what? Now, this bucket I use as an illustration, but from what I can tell, this is for your property, and they can put change in it. You know how to fill this bucket up? Start getting intense with your service to God and see this bucket fill. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know what? He wants to see that building over there.
Yeah.
He wants to see the Word of God go out. He wants to see this place go. But how many are you going to sit over here in this building and wait on God this week? How many of you are going to sit over there and put scriptures together and say, Lord, I don't know what you got planned for this church. This bucket's not full, but I tell you what, I'm going to serve you this week.
Amen.
I'm going to get involved. I'm going to get my hands on. I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to stay there as I can. I'm going to help people out. And I'm going to wait on the Lord.
Amen.
You be a servant to God, and God will take care of his servants.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Not because I said it. Not because I've got a magical plan. It's because the Word of God says it. If the Word of God will not fail, then I guess verse 31 won't either. You reckon? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. You know, they're going to overcome those problems. They're going to come out okay. They're going to come out flying. I told you a minute ago, I've had a bad week. There's a skunk family around my neighborhood. And they've been coming and visiting my house. They came over and welcomed us twice this past week. Last Saturday night, I heard a dog bark outside my door. Sunday morning, I knew why it barked. The air was not very pleasant. And I had to get up and go to church. it finally aired out, Pastor, Monday and Tuesday, until he came again. The night before I left for this last meeting, when I came up here, he visited us again. My truck, I had the windows open the whole way to Lodi, trying to air that thing out. I got a son that he's teenager years, and buddy, he's testing the limits. I got a dryer that went out on me the day I was leaving. I forgot my shoes. I did a video for the church today of their Seedline project, and everything played but the lead singer. It wasn't there. The background music was there. The other music was there. But the lead singer on the song wasn't there. But you know what? It's nothing. It's nothing. You know, the devil's trying to beat us down. He's going to try to attack you this week. Let me tell you what, he does not want scriptures to go to Thailand. I guarantee you that. It's a stronghold. Question is, no matter what obstacle comes in your way, will you be a waiter this week? He doesn't want you to build that building. He wants you to whatever, but he doesn't want you to be there. He wants you to fight and fuss and argue and complain and gripe and nitpick. But I know. I was in a building program. But you know what? We just need to step back and say, God, number one, your word's not going to fall.
Yeah.
Number two, your wonders never fail. You're going to have to do something mighty big for us this week. And three, Lord, no matter how tired or weary I get in this old world, I'm going to be your waiter.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, God's going to step in. And you get these scriptures out. Not only these, but we got a lot more to get out.
Amen. Amen.
Will you be a waiter? There's people here in this community that's reached. There's young people that need to be in that Christian school, Brother Dave. Will we be a servant of God? And when it all comes to pass, Brother Rob, we'll stand back and say, wow, what a God. What a God. Because it ain't us. It's Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement tonight, Lord. If nobody needed it tonight, Lord, I did. Lord, I needed that perspective again. Lord, I needed to understand again who you are, who I am, and what you've done in my life, and what the future holds. Lord, you are mighty. You're fantastic. You're great. You're wonderful. You're the counselor. You're the mighty God. And Lord, use us this week. Small compared to the world. Small compared to the nations. But mighty compared to our God. We love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?
Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. What a great message. And Brother Dale, what some great illustrations. I've preached from that chapter many times. You gave me some great illustrations tonight. I was waiting for you to pull out a grasshopper from verse 22, 23. He ate him on the way here. When he said he forgot his shoes and stuff, I thought of my son-in-law, David. We went to a retreat, a Christian retreat, Brother Dale. I had 25 couples. My associate pastor forgot his shoes. He went to buy some Amish shoes. He's grabbing my white shirts and my ties. He didn't even bring those shirts. He said, Dad, did you bring extra? I said, I always bring extra. He said, I need at least one or two shirts. I need some shoes. When you said that, his were just about like yours. What you got? Just, I can't believe it. You know what? And know what? We had the program didn't even mean one thing about his shoes. It was all for the Lord. Sometimes we get caught up in things that are non-essential. I'm glad we try to take care of our appearances, but sometimes we focus more on the appearances than we do the things that are really important from the heart. And Brother Dale, I've been here where I've preached messages, but you were a blessing to me tonight. But I've preached messages where I needed something from God, and I just asked God, let me preach a message like he did you tonight, just so I could be a blessing to me. But that was a great message. That was, and by the way, they're used to covering up, Brother Dale, because I spit when I preach. And so they're, even though you got just the water, that was purified water there. That's great. Oh, we have a great God. We have a tremendous God. I couldn't think, just like you.